This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Compassionate One, help us to pray, knowing you are always listening, always hearing us. Help us to be persistent in prayer, increasing our faith, our awareness, our realizations of your way of love in this world. Give us courage and patience, Lord Christ, because it is hard to wait for answers when we suffer or we are worried. May we pray always and not lose heart. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Please be seated. Most of you probably can't see the photograph framed down front, but you'll see it when you come for communion, so we're projecting it. This photograph, it hangs over the couch in my office, and when I'm sitting at my desk, I can see it. And so when I'm daydreaming, or I'm bothered by something, or I'm struggling with something, it just pulls me right in. I've had it since I lived up in Virginia. I had it in my office up there. And it has become, to me, a symbol of prayer. The destination is unclear in the fog, and the answer to whatever the challenge, unknown. Unknown. It's uncanny how many times I find myself staring at it, and now it's become a reminder that as I watch, for instance, and my mind is going worrying about something, and then it reminds me of prayer. It's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to pray first, not worry first. So it's that constant reminder of the gospel that we have before us today, to pray always and not to lose heart, and not to lose heart. How often do we hear somebody say, or we see it in movies or on television, where there's a difficult situation and somebody will say, well, I guess there's nothing else to do but pray. That's the reverse. That's how we are to begin. And how often we forget. How often we forget. Jesus, in this gospel today, is compelling us, compelling his little band of disciples as they were going on and on down this road to Jerusalem. And they're almost there, by the way, this long road trip we've had since the beginning of July in the Gospel of Luke. We have gone with them and gone with them and gone with them. And now the hostility is worse than ever toward this little band of disciples for following Jesus Christ. They're facing more and more rejection everywhere they go. And what does Jesus say? Pray always. Don't lose heart. Be strong. It's probably going to get a little worse. Stick with it. And then he offers them a parable, of course, to really drive home this idea of prayer. And as I learned in seminary, that one of the best ways to look at parables is to know that every character in the parable gives us an example of how we are or a choice that we have to make in how we want to comport our lives. So we have two characters today before us as a choice. So this judge, this unjust judge, back in the day would have been traveling around hearing different cases. And if you're lucky, you got to present your case before him. I shouldn't say lucky. Really, is if you had money to bribe the attendants, then you get in. Then you get in before the judge. That was normally what was going on. And the judge, this judge, he didn't care. The text tells us he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about people. And he's got all the power. All the power to do whatever he wants with the people, to rake in all the money, and no regard for God and no regard for human beings. None. That is a dangerous combination. It's the very definition of impunity without punishment. Dangerous guy. Dangerous. That's him. He doesn't give in to the woman because he's figuring out the best way to treat her. The only reason he gives in to her is because she's driving him crazy. And he can't stand it anymore. He just wants her out of his sight. So he says, fine. And he gives her what she wants. Reminds me, if I'm honest, when my kids were little and growing up, once in a while, not the norm, thank goodness, but you'd be coming home from work, you'd be tired, you'd have groceries, maybe you drop a bag of groceries, the dog is barking, getting into the garbage, the kid's coming up and nagging and nagging and nagging for that cookie before dinner, and you're saying, no, 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 and they keep at it and at it. You go, fine, just take the cookie. I just have to focus on dinner right now. Right? If we're honest. The cookie wasn't given because it was the right thing to do. It was because we were worn down in that moment, in that moment. And that's what the judge was like in that minute. Then we've got the widow, this strong, amazing woman. And as you know, back in the day, if you were a woman, you really were pretty much had no power, no land, no way to make your way in the world without a man. And if your husband died, then hopefully you had a father that would take you in, or a brother, or a brother-in-law, or a cousin, somebody to take you in. And if you didn't, well, you were just out of luck, baby. You were just out of luck. This woman somehow had had an injustice done to her, and she knew the right thing was to get justice for whatever the situation was. And so she goes to this judge, and she petitions, and she petitions, and she begs, and she nags, and she nags, and she nags. So apparently, she would have gone back day after day after day after day, and she would not back down. The Greek word for the way she was persistent actually has two translations. One is, the literal translation is to beat black and blue. And the other is to give one intolerable annoyance. Intolerable annoyance. She would not back down until he gave up. And he does. And she got justice. I'm reminded of a current example. A woman in our centering prayer group by the name of Helen, some of you might know her, she's comes to our 5 o'clock service sometimes, gave me permission to tell this story. She is an Episcopal deacon. She sings in the choir at St. Paul's, but she also comes here sometimes. She's a lawyer, and she works for an organization called the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. Might be association. NAMI, it's called for short. And within that organization, she works for a group that's called the NAMI Advocacy Group. NAG, for short. We were looking at this gospel in Lectio Divina in Centering Prayer, and it was just great, the story, because she said that's what they do, this little group, their job, and she has a son who has mental illness, she told me I could also say, and this group goes, they are a network, a statewide network of people who live with mental illness of themselves or family members, and they've been trained to tell their lived experience to the policymakers. So they literally go before the people who are making the laws, and they nag them, and they nag them. And that's their motto now. It's like, nag on. And she was laughing about that. It's a perfect example of what this widow was doing. She was standing up for what was right. She was standing up and waiting and waiting and nagging until she was heard. That's the gospel today. We're to pray always and not to lose heart, no matter what we're going through. So at this point, one might say, well, I'm sick of praying. I'm tired of praying. I've been praying for the world and all the awful things that are going on, and I'm not seeing the results. I'm not seeing any results. I've got personal problems, and I'm not seeing any answers, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of praying. So I say, okay. Okay. That's a choice. That's a choice. Just like this parable. We can choose to be like the unjust judge. We can choose to get cynical. We can choose to become apathetic because things aren't going our way. We can choose to delve into anger or our addictions. become a know-it-all. It's a choice. Or we can listen to Jesus Christ, even though it's hard, and find peace. And find peace. I offer you three ways to do that, and hopefully it will help. The first is that this consistent prayer is transformational, not transactional. So in other words, you go into a grocery store and you go to buy something, you're going to give money, they're going to give you something back, that's a transaction, right? Frequently, we go in prayer to God like God's a vending machine. We're going to go put the money in and ask for what we want. We're going to get out what we want. That's transactional. This is not transactional prayer. It's transformational. And we go to God not knowing the answers. It's just like the pathway, not knowing the way, but knowing there's a path there. Knowing that. And then we better buckle in. If we're really wanting transformation, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be pain-free. And we're asked to be praying in that way. So that's the first thing. It's transformational, not transactional. The second thing is that consistent prayer takes honesty and courage. Courage. When Jesus says, "Do not lose heart," he's referring to that very word, courage. As many of you might know, the root of courage is the French cœur, heart. To be strong in heart. To be courageous in your walk with Christ. And we come before Christ in prayer, humble, ideally, and say, okay, here I am. And this is where confession comes in. And I've added it to this service today. We don't normally have confession this time of year, but we're all encouraged that before we come to communion to confess anything that we want off our hearts that we know that we have done that wasn't right. And so it's important for us to go before God in all honesty, courageously being honest with God, knowing that we're forgiven, and then praying diligently. And diligently, and diligently, and all we have to be is ourselves. All we have to be is ourselves, and somehow, sometimes, that can be so difficult. We feel like we have to be something that we're not, and all God is asking is for us to come and be real, and tell your troubles. Believe me, God has heard it before. I guarantee you, your problems are not unique. My problems are not unique. Third way, consistent prayer takes consistency. Oh, that. It's a discipline, daily, not just Sundays, but during the week. If you don't already have a prayer place in your home or out back in your yard or somewhere, I would encourage you to create a prayer space, a place where you can go with intention. Hopefully close the door or know that you're not going to be interrupted. Turn off the screens. Have a Bible. Have a journal. Feel what you're feeling and go deep. This is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. This is the relationship that we are called to. Always. That's prayer. That talking to Jesus, that talking to God, that is prayer. And it doesn't have to be written. It doesn't have to be formal. You're just sharing your heart. And you're asking for God's guidance, for God's help. So trust your feelings, even if it's 5 minutes a day, even 5 minutes a day, hopefully you can find longer, then that way you develop a relationship with God. And in that way, your faith increases because you'll begin to recognize God in your life. How can we recognize God in our lives if we're not spending intentional time? How do you know anybody? You get to know them by spending time. And that's what Jesus is asking, to pray always and do not lose heart, no matter what. And just to note, this parable is not saying that God is going to grant your prayers because you're bugging him. God is not the unjust judge. God is not the unjust judge. At the end there, Jesus is making the analogy that look at this woman is getting justice, not because of the unjust judge. Something within her was driving that. And that our answered prayer may also, usually actually, not be anything that we think the answer's going to be. And that's why we ask for God's prayer. For whatever the situation is, I recently had a situation of great concern to me, and I was praying and praying and praying all this week about it, and it was really bothering me, and I was kind of worried about it, and I was praying and praying, and then I finally, I was immersed in this sermon and research, and I thought, I don't need this object lesson, God. You know, I can just do it from my head. I don't have to have an object lesson to have to practice this stuff. And then I kept praying, and this reading fell into my lap. And I read this, and it just kind of shifted everything. And I realized that the answer to my prayer this week was that I had to change my perspective. I had to realize that I couldn't fix this person, and that it wasn't up to me, and that prayer was what I needed to be doing. And then I felt a peace, and that's how I knew that it was from God. The fruits of the Spirit came, that peace and calm, finally. You breathe easy, you take a deep breath. We stick with it until we see the blessing, just like Jacob, when he was wrestling with that man all night long. He wouldn't let him go until he gave him a blessing. And that blessing is in everything, is in everything. And it doesn't mean that God does bad things to us so that we have that blessing. It means that God can turn it to good when we rely on God to show us the way. One last thing about this painting that lives in my office. Now, when I look at it, and it reminds me of prayer, as you're going down this pathway, you can see, or I imagine, that I can see just before me, just enough to keep going. I don't know if you've ever done that in the woods when it's been foggy and you're walking and you can see just enough, like we see right there. And then you go a little further and you can see the next little bit. That's a comfort to me now. And also that the fog becomes like a blanket, like the little book called The Cloud of Unknowing. Thank God that I don't have to know, that I don't have to have all the answers, and that God's going to show me. That's developing faith, and that is what we're called to do today. And that is why at the end of the gospel, the question is, will we have faith? Amen.